All right, boys, good morning. Good morning. It's Baruch Hashem, a great source to be able just to share with you just some words of Torah as we go into Shabbos, we go into Yom Kippur. I want to take a look at Yom Kippur and really the concept of tshuva from a little bit of a totally different angle. Chavra, who could tell me what are nesachim? Nesachim, a nesach, nesachim. Anyone?
Pouring.
I'm sorry? Pouring, excellent. What are you pouring?
Water.
Where are nesachim? Excellent. Good. Wine libations. Excellent. Art school translation right there. Incredible, right? So nesachim, in English, they're used as translations. As libations. Where are you pouring wine and water? Where are you pouring it?
The holes by the mizbeach.
Excellent. Excellent. So first, let's take a step back. You're only pouring water once a year. When are you pouring water? Sukkis. Excellent. That process is called?
Nisachamayim.
No, excellent. Nisachamayim. Excellent. Nisachamayim. Now, wine libations, nesachim, so accompanied different karbanos. Listen to this. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin, we actually had in Daf Yomi just a few days ago, has a fascinating machlokis. The machlokis is, were there nesachim in the Midbar? When we were in the desert for 40 years, we had a Mishkan, we had karbanos, were there nesachim or not? Now, the truth is, the real shaila is not as whether there were nesachim, because there were nesachim, any carbon sibar, right? Again, what's a carbon sibar? Carbon sibar? What? Good. Give me an example of a carbon sibar. Excellent. Carbon tamid. Right. So carbon tamid, tamid shal shachar, tamid shal ben abayim. Excellent. Those are mourning. Those are communal sacrifices. Everyone agrees those had nesachim. The Gemara says, what about a carbon yachid? Give me an example of where an individual will be bringing a carbon. Chatos. When would you bring a chatos?
Sin.
I'm sorry. What? What kind of sin? I'm sorry. Excellent. Who said that? Excellent, excellent, excellent. If you sin b'shogeg, certain types of errors, you go and you bring a carbon chattas. Good. Another example of an individual carbon?
Carbon
I'm sorry?
Asham.
Carbon asham. Excellent, good. Another example of a personal carbon?
Mincha.
Mincha. Well, correct. Mincha could be, that is correct. You could have a carbon yachad as mincha. Good, what else?
Toda.
Excellent. Right? A Thanksgiving offering. A person is in a dangerous situation. They're delivered. They're safe from that dangerous situation. They bring a carbon mincha. So the Gemara essentially says like this. It's a machlokes. Were there nesachim, if you're in the midbar, you're a Jew in the midbar, you're bringing a carbon toda, chatas, and asham, a mincha, do you bring nesachim or not? That's the machlokes. Chevra, is this like a fascinating machlokes? Not especially. Right? Not especially, but here's where it gets interesting. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim. It's such a wild Medrash. The Medrash says, where did the Jews have wine for the Nesachim? From where did they have wine for the Nesachim? Right? Because remember, a Nesach requires wine. We were in the middle of the desert. So what would you answer? Where did we have wine for Nesachim? I'm sorry?
They bought it from like people, like nomads or whatever.
Excellent. Answer number one the Medrash gives is Tagarim. They went ahead and they brought it from merchants. Remember, again, as much as we're in the desert, there were civilizations all around us, so they were able to go and interact for business purposes, for commerce purposes. So they bought wine from people around them. Good. The second answer the Medrash gives, however, listen to this answer, is absolutely wild. Anyone have a different approach?
Grapes.
Excellent. In other words, the other possibility. It's interesting, the Medrash doesn't say that, but I was thinking the same thing. In other words, maybe they just had grapes with them. In other words, we know they took stuff from Egypt. Maybe they just took grapes, or maybe they purchased grapes and made their own wine. Excellent. So either, again, they bought the wine, maybe either they had grapes, bought grapes. Good. Any other suggestions?
Miracle.
I'm sorry?
Miracle.
Miracle. That's, by the way, that's always a safe suggestion with anything to do with the desert. In other words, come on, really? 3.5 million people are getting food delivered to their doorstep every single day. They're getting mun. A little extra container of, you know, Kedah Malaga, you know, is going to be a little extra wine, is going to be just fun. I'm sorry?
That's possible.
That would be possible. It's true. It's true. Like, no one should use that for anything. Maybe your pancakes, you know. But Lamaisa. So now, again, so go. Either we have miracles. And interestingly, the Medrash doesn't mention that either, although it seems so poshut, right? Either miracles, either they had grapes, or they bought the wine. Have a listen to this. Medrash brings down, the last answer of the Medrash is, Me'eshkol Shel Anovim. The Medrash, get ready for this. Where do they have wine for Nesachim? Chav, remember when the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Kinan? What did the Meraglim bring with them? What did they bring with them?
A massive fruit.
And specifically, what type of the biggest fruits they brought?
Grapes.
A huge cluster of grapes is what they brought back with them. The Medrash writes, from where did Klal Yisrael have wine for Nisachim? They took it from the cluster of grapes from the Miraculim. They saved that cluster, and somehow again that cluster was maintained throughout 40 years, and that was the source of their wine for Nisachim. However, let me ask you this question. How does that make you feel? What do you feel about that Medrash? So the wine for the Nisachim came from the grapes of the Miraglim. Does that sound easy?
I mean, it reminds me of one of the opinions for what the Itzadas was, in that it's a fig tree, and that it's because the reason they say fig tree is because we know that Adam and Chava made garments out of fig leaves. So it's what the thing that messed them up, which is the fig tree, is also what they used to repair themselves.
Beautiful, beautiful. So maybe it's the same motif. The very thing that caused your undoing is the very thing that now leads to your rebuilding. Beautiful, beautiful. Have any other thoughts about that? The same Eshkol, the same cluster. Yes.
How's it possible that they had so much wine from?
Okay, good. So you're being more practical about this. Good. Remember, it was a big cluster. It was a big cluster, and of course, all of this is miraculous. Or beautiful. It could be maybe like. Remember again, in general, Medrash could be understood on many different levels, and Medrash doesn't have to always be literal. So you want to say maybe there's a message in here. Yeah. So what's the message?
I don't know.
Okay, good,
it's not,
good.
It's not literal.
It's not literal that there's, beautiful, that there's a message. So, Chevra, let's talk about this just a little bit. Let's pause here for just a moment. Guys, what is tshuva? What is tshuva? Describe to me the process of tshuva in one sentence. Tshuva.
Returning back to the way you were at the beginning.
Beautifully put. Returning back to the way you were at the beginning. And the reason, Chevra, why Chanuch is saying something so beautiful is because in Yiddishkeit, we believe that we come into this world holy. You know, there are other schools of thought or other theologies that preach that man is inherently bad and man has to try to become good. We don't believe that. We believe man is inherently good, just the difference is we mess ourselves up over the course of life. So as Chanuch said so beautifully, the process of tshuva is maybe returning back to what you were, to who you were, like Rabbi Shlomo said, to where you were, right? You have to go ahead and reclaim that which you once had. Beautiful. Beautiful. Any other suggestions? What is tshuva? Ellie?
When you regret something that you did and you make like a pact to not do it again?
Excellent. So now it's getting into mamish like the way the Rambam defines tshuva. So however, we know again, the Rambam's model of tshuva, which is probably like the most famous and well-known model of tshuva, which has multiple steps, right? There's hakara sacheit, there's a recognition I've done something wrong. There's aziva sacheit, a pledge not to do it anymore. Again, charata, remorse, a whole bunch of different steps. It's interesting, by the way, the Rambam, you know, describes three different levels of bali tshuva, right? Level number one, anyone know? Highest level? Highest level. What the Rambam calls a Baal Tshuva Gimura.
When he's put in the same situation.
Excellent. Baal Tshuva Gimura is, I sinned. I made a mistake in a particular context, particular situation. Now I'm placed in that same situation again, but this time, I don't commit the Avera. That's a Baal Tshuva Gimura. Second level down, what the Rambam calls Baal Tshuva. What's a Baal Tshuva? What's a Baal Tshuva? Right, essentially, regular Baal Tshuva is, I'm doing Tshuva, but I'm not placed in the same situation. In other words, I go through all of the steps that are part of Tshuva, but I have, and what's the third level of Baal Tshuva? Third level?
You tried not to do it again.
Good, that's true also. That's true, that's absolutely correct. Not exactly what the Rambam says, but absolutely correct.
Or you did it again, but
good, absolutely true. Although the Rambam, again, Rambam is a very specific situation. Anyone know? The last level of the Rambam's tshuva is what we call a deathbed Baal Tshuva. What's a deathbed Baal Tshuva? In other words, I'm about to die. I realize I haven't done tshuva, so I'm going to do tshuva. Is that a beautiful tshuva? Is it a meaningful tshuva? What would you say?
Yeah.
Any tshuva is beautiful. Any tshuva is meaningful. Again, is it as powerful as the first two categories? No. Why? Correct, because you're not going to be really tempted again. You're not going to be placed in a situation again. So that's how the Rambam defines. That's how the Rambam defines about tshuva. But the truth is, there's a deeper level. Not a deeper. There's another concept of being about tshuva. And to be about tshuva, what it requires is a person has to delve into the mechanics of sin. You know, I'll give you like this. Rabbi Yitzchak Berditchev, Zichus Yagin, the Rebbe says something so beautiful. The Rebbe says, every single day, Hashem sends down a burst of energy for you. Like kolach. It's not good and it's not bad. It's just energy. And the Rebbe says, so what do you do with that energy? So he says, it depends what you're doing in life when you get it. In other words, Hashem Baruch Hu doesn't tell me, okay, expect your divine burst of energy about 10 a.m. this morning. So I'm like, all right, I'm ready. I'm going to be in Shir. It's going to be fantastic. You get that divine burst of energy at some point during the day. If you're in the midst of doing something incredible, it fuels you down that road even more. If you're in the midst of doing something really terrible, it fuels you down that road as well. That's why the Rebbe says a person has to try to maintain a constant state of preparedness, because I never know when that divine burst of energy is coming. If we look into sin, let me ask you this question. Chevra, is there anyone here who has ever run to do an Avera? Like, not walked, run to do an Avera. Anyone here? Wow, this is such a school of tzaddikim. This is incredible, right? Okay, all right, I guess, good, I'm happy I'm not the only one at least, right? Not just walk to do an Avera, run to do an Avera. Now, let me ask you this question. If you've ever run to do an Avera, what does that show you about yourself? What does that show you?
You have energy.
What mida do you have?
Flaws.
You have flaws, that's true. What mida do you possess? Zrizos. You see, something amazing happens. If I am a person who has run, see, there are some people, they're just lazy in everything. They're lazy when they sin, they're lazy when they daven, they're lazy when they this, they're just lazy. There are, in this world, apathetic people who just don't move. And then there are people who have zrizos. Now, it might be zrizos for all the wrong stuff, but it's zrizos nevertheless. So if I've ever had a situation in my life where I have run to do an Avera, Chav, you know what that means? I possess the Mida of Zrizos. And that is absolutely incredible. Because now, what's my Avoda? What's my job? To rechannel it. Right? So now, at the end of the day, I know that I possess this Mida. And all I need to do is channel it into something different, something positive, and suddenly I could create something magnificent for myself. You know what tshuva is? Tshuva is not just ashamnu bagadnu gazanu. It's not just saying I'm sorry. Saying I'm sorry is a very important part, because you only can say you're sorry if you recognize what you've done. A recognition of what you've done is the first step in order to correct it. But so much of real tshuva is kind of looking inside myself and say, okay, I've sinned. We've all sinned. What kohos, what power, what abilities can I see in myself as a result of sin? And it's so fascinating. We don't think of Avera like this. We think of Avera as all bad. But the truth is, it's going to sound strange, Avera has some good stuff in it also. I don't just mean that Averas can be pleasurable. I mean that Averas teach us a lot about ourselves and teach us a lot about the character traits and the behaviors we possess. So if I'm the kind of guy, who maybe gets my friends to sin also, what does that teach me about me? Now that's bad, but what does that teach you about me? If I get my friends to sin also, that I could have an impact on other people. So I run to do Averos, I use Rizos. I go ahead and I corral other people to sin along with me, I could have an impact on other people. You could keep going down the list. By the way, Chevra, there are some people that when they sin, right, their whole hashkafa in sinning is like, go big or go home. Right? Like, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to sin, I am going to sin. Hineni muchanu mezuman, I am going to do this right. What does that show you? What does that teach you about you if you're that kind of guy? What does that teach you? Right? That you have big goals. Granted, your goals have been going in the wrong direction, but I am a guy who thinks big. So from one Avera, I can learn I'm a guy who thinks big. I am a guy who can have an impact on someone else. And at the end of the day, I am a guy who has zrizos. So now this is incredible. Now if I could just take all of those kochos and just go ahead and reroute them in a positive way, I could accomplish something amazing. And maybe that's what the Gemara is teaching us. When the Gemara says, what did Klal Yisrael use for nesachim? What did they use for wine libations? What did the Medrash say? What do they use? The cluster of grapes from the Meraglim. So the Meraglim were going ahead and trying to use those grapes to drive a wedge between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now what happened? What did Klal Yisrael do? They took that very mechanism that became the undoing of Klal Yisrael, and instead they used it as a vehicle to create a daily bridge. Take the thing that's problematic and repurpose it. Do you know why tshuva? You guys are young, so maybe you don't appreciate this as much, but as you get older, you'll find. Do you know why do you think tshuva is the most difficult thing for most of us? Why is tshuva so difficult? Beautiful. It's hard for me to accept the fact that I've done something wrong. Excellent. Excellent. Good. Why else is tshuva so difficult?
We think that you have to commit to something.
Think I have to commit. Excellent. Good. What else? Acknowledging I've done something wrong. Think I have to commit to something.
It's embarrassing to apologize.
It's embarrassing to apologize. Right? It could be humiliating to apologize to someone. Excellent. Good. What else? What else?
You don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. At the end of the day, if you bring all these things together, do you know why tshuva is so incredibly complicated? Because I think I have to become someone different. And I don't know that I'm ready to become someone different. But here's the great secret of tshuva. You actually don't have to become someone different. You just have to take all of the things that make you, you, and just find a way to rechannel and to repurpose them a little bit. You have to take your grapes, right? You have to take the Eshkol Anovim of the Meraglim, and you just have to transform it into Nesachim. The whole point of tshuva, the Rimon Shalom doesn't ask us to become different people. Even though the Rambam discusses Mishana Shmo, right? Eini Oseish, okay? But there's a different model of tshuva as well. And there's a model of tshuva that says, you know what? I don't have to become someone different. I just have to look inside myself, see all of the kochos that I used when I committed an Aveira, and I realize, wow, I have a ridiculous skill set in life. I have a ridiculous set of kochos. All I need to do is repurpose them and rechannel them in a different way. And if I could take all of those kochos that I used to sin and now repurpose and rechannel them to do something good, I could accomplish something magnificent in life. I could take the cluster of grapes that used to belong to the Meraglim, and I can now repurpose them into Nesachim. Boys, that's the koach that each of us have. You know, we're going to spend a lot of time in shul over the course of Yom Kippur. You may have noticed. I don't know where everyone davens, but generally wherever you daven, probably going to be spending a lot of time. Guys, can I ask you, is there anyone here who pays attention to the Machzor the entire time? Anyone? Raise your hand if you pay attention to the Machzor the entire time. I'm going to tell you this, I don't raise my hand. I space out a lot of time, especially during Chazaras HaShatz and Musaf. It's long. It's really long. It's really long. And the truth is, it's very detailed. It's very detailed. And in life, it's always good to cut. So what should you do, like, when you're spacing out a little bit? You could count ceiling tiles, right? You could grab every single piece of reading material around in your shul, right? But even that, how much reading material is there? Like, you could only read Baltimore Jewish Home from 4 weeks ago so many times, right? After a certain point, I already memorized the ads. So what should you do when you're spacing out? So let me give you an exercise. This is what I do, and maybe you'll find it helpful as well. Think about your averus. But don't think about your averus to beat yourself up. Think about, like, the best avera you committed this year. And when I say best, I mean the one you enjoyed most. And think about all of the kochos you put in to make that avera successful. Just identify, like, what did I put in there? Okay, maybe I planned it out very well. I executed it very well. I was attentive to detail. I got my friends involved. I was zoriz, right? Go through the list and identify all of the incredible skill sets you have in life. Those are your skill sets, boys. The fact that I used those skill sets for the wrong thing, okay, that's not great, but it's still my skill set. And once you identify that particular skill set, you will realize how incredibly powerful and how incredibly talented each of you really are. And if you could just take that same skill set and use it for good, there is no telling what you could accomplish. Take those same midos, and instead of for averus, use them for mitzvos. The sky is the limit. Take those kochos and repurpose them. Take the cluster of grapes of the Meraglim and use them for nesachim. And the coming year is going to be something amazing. So I wish you guys a gemar chasima tova. should be Emir Hashem, a beautiful Shabbat Shuva, an uplifting Yom Kippur. And again, even if you're not following along in the Machzor the whole time and not in Shul the whole time, that's okay. But just use your time meaningfully and use your time purposely. Use the time to introspect. Use the time to get to know yourself, because the more we understand ourselves, the more we will be able to accomplish in the year to come. Gemar Chasimut Tova. I hope that the coming year brings each of you incredible bracha, incredible hatzlacha. Bechol ma'aseh yideichem. Each of you should just taste success this year in every area of life. You should be zochem yaretz Hashem to a year of health, to a year of hatzlacha, to a year of simcha and halavai. We should be zochem. You know, we have to move locations mid-year. How great would it be if instead of moving to some campus in Baltimore, maybe we move to our new campus in Yerushalayim? It could happen. Anything could happen. How incredible would that be? Pulling up every single day, right, somewhere. And if it's not, if we have to be outside of Yerushalayim, we'll be outside of Yerushalayim. But again, not too far out of Yerushalayim. Right? At least to be raw. At least you should be able to see Yerushalayim. How incredible could that be? Halavai we should be zochet to that this year, boys. Gemar Chasimut Tova, and a good Shabbos.
Amen. Here.